Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
Welcome to the podcast, Nothing But Net, Sedona Prince, one of our favorites. Sedona, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Debbie.
Okay, 6-7, TCU, what an incredible start, right? There's a lot of excitement around your program. Tell us what it's been like, because you guys have some expectations.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. We're just excited to play basketball. We've been together for 14 weeks now as a team. So building chemistry, you know, we got a lot of transfers. We have the oldest team in college basketball history, which is pretty funny. We're at an average age of 22 years old, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, we're just excited to start playing together and stuff. We've had a great summer, great fall training. And so, or spring training. So we're excited to get to show everybody else our talent and get out some games, you know.
You know, Sedona, the landscape in college basketball on the men's side, everybody talks about the older teams, right? They have a lot of one and done on the men's side. We don't have that so much in the women's game because of the WNBA rules. But
right,
having said that, you're the oldest team. That should speak well when you get to March, right? What do you got to do to keep your focus till you get there?
Right. I mean, yeah, you're so right. We've had kids that, you know, Haley beat me in the Sweet 16 back in 2021. And so we've had girls that have been there, that have played in really, really high pressure games, high pressure situations. And so in order to get there, we need to stay healthy, right? That's the journey of a season, to stay healthy, stay focused, stay together. I think a big thing about our team is our team chemistry. We're so close. We love each other so much, which is, you know, you see a lot of women's basketball, but it's really, really difficult to keep a group of 14 young women together and bonded and peaceful at times. It's women's basketball. There's a lot of, you know, drama here and there. And so we have that just a tight knit, mature group of girls that are very, very talented and love to play together.
Right. Well, there's something to be said about older teams and maturity that comes with that. And most of you are, this is your last college basketball go around, right? I mean, sometimes winning supersedes everything and we talk about it, but really that is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be a special season for all of us. It's a big comeback year as well, right? Like, you know, it's we've all had our individual journeys of coming through big adversities, injuries, or, you know, playing for coaches that are, you know, hard to play for. And so now we all get to come together and just play this happy style of fun loving basketball. Yeah. Winning basketball. You're right, it's the most important thing is to win. And so hopefully we can do that. But just to stay together, you know, we're a very hardworking team. I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun season. It's been a blast so far these last 14 weeks to play with these girls, and so I'm just excited to you know, show it. You've already seen one game. We have one game down, but we didn't even play our best. Kind of struggled on offense. We only shot 1 out of 10 threes, which is not how our team shoots at all. You should see us in practice. Literally, it's like we have a couple 70% 3-point shooters. And so yeah, for us to be, you know, shooting like that, it just shows how good we are, that we have an off night and we can still win like that and play like that. But I'm excited to see how we actually play.
I love that you're talking about all the shooters and you're not talking about yourself, because you know, as 6-7, because of your ability to score on the block, also to leak out to the perimeter, you can pick and pop. There's so many things that you have in your skill set that's just so amazing for your size. You know, how is it coming together for you with where Mark Campbell is using you and how the other players are being able to play off you? Because, you know, at the highest levels of basketball, the NBA, everything's predicated on the five.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, we're very complimentary of each other, right? So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have guards around me that can shoot the ball, but in order for me to get them the ball, I have to be able to, whenever I get up on the block, to be able to score, right? To go to work. If I get it down low every time, just go up. And so that creates a disadvantage. And so teams have to double onto me. And as soon as they do that, then I have the ability to pass out to my wide open shooters around the perimeter that are shooting 70% from the 3-point line, which is insane. And so it gives me the freedom to know that, like, you know, if I get it down low and I get stuck, or if someone comes and helps, I get double teamed, that I'm going to have shooters around me that I can kick it to that are going to make a play, make a good shot. And so it's just the freedom, like the relief that I have of playing with so many good guards. But yeah, I mean, it's also I feel like it's my year to kind of show what I can do, my versatility, that I can shoot the ball. I can also shoot threes, that I can play like a guard here and there. And so I'm excited to do that and to also show my low post presence.
I'm sure you're talking about 70% being charted in practice, right? That's
where the 70% yeah, not guarded, yeah.
Okay, so I know from being around you how much you love the game. I know how hard you've worked to come back. When you look at your journey from all the injuries that you've sustained and how you've been able to bounce back each time, where does your resolve come from? I mean, you could purely say it's the love of the game, or is there something else driving you?
Oh, man. I've had a very, very long road. Just from as soon as I came to college, right? I mean, immediately broke my leg, and then went on a long journey of, you know, elbow reconstruction now. And then last year coming back, fighting through so much adversity, fighting from being out of college for 8 months to then coming back, and all of a sudden beginning of the season, I break my finger and I lose my season again. It's been a lot, but yeah, my love for the game, I think just like this determination that I have inside myself that I think my mom instilled in me when I was, and you know, at a young age, that just continue being loud and just being a presence in this world. And that's been, you know, this kind of like challenge to myself, right? It's like, yeah, I could quit. I could. But what if I didn't? All I know is to continue to fight. That's all I've ever done. And so that's just what I keep doing. And, you know, if adversity hits me again, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared. I am, you know, I'm trained to go through adversity. I've done it pretty much my whole life. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just that, yeah, the will to fight, but also the love for the game. I love it. It's my outlet in this world. It's given me so much peace through the hardest times of my life. And so to keep fighting back to it and to keep, you know, it's a reason why I cherish every time I step out on the court. You see me just smiling. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful to be out there, to be entertaining others, to be bring people into the gym, to grow the sport. And so, yeah, to always like try to fight to get back to that is what I do it for.
I want to ask you about team, because while you're going through this journey yourself, trying to get yourself ready and get back so that you can be a part of a team, I want to ask you about, I know you love the game. I know you've fought through some adversity and you've had some season ending injuries, but being on a team, Sedona, explain that to us. Like, because I know how much you enjoy being around your teammates. I see it in the way you play. Of course, our conversations have always been around team. Explain that.
Yeah. I mean, that camaraderie that you have, like I've been on a part of probably some of the greatest teams in college basketball, right? With Sabrina Ionescu, that team, the 2020, the Duck season was 2019 Duck season was the best team in college basketball, period. And so to hear on these girls that, and to learn from each other, it's the camaraderie, this like, oh man, it's just like a sisterhood. It really is. It's the best way to describe it is college women's basketball. And it's like, I mean, oh man, you spend the whole year with the same group of 13, 14 girls, right? Build this like just tight knit family. And then you go on this journey together of a season. Yeah. And it is a journey of a season. It's, you know, there's injuries that arise. There's adversity. There's, you know, ups and downs, right? You hit different impasses as a team or different struggles. And so to go on this journey with these girls is such a special thing. And I've been bonded with girls, you know, through my past that I've been teammates with that I'll be friends with for the rest of my life because of how close you get in these seasons and stuff. So I'm excited. This is by far my favorite team that I've ever been on in my life. Not even close, like even since, you know, I started playing basketball. This is just a special group of girls, a special group of people from the staff, you know, top to bottom. We just have a very, very rare special unit that we have to go through the season with us. And then alongside, you know, plus is that we're also extremely talented at basketball, which is just another, you know, it's awesome, right? It's just a plus. And so I'm excited to show the world what we can do and stuff and you know, only get closer with these girls.
Preseason pick number 4 in the Big 12, and on the national scene, a lot of people are picking you guys as their sleeper team. I think you can define sleeper like unranked, going maybe deep into the tournament, sort of what happened to NC State last year. And you're going to be playing NC State coming up as one of the top teams on your schedule. It's kind of interesting to see what NC State was able to accomplish last year, being picked eighth in their league, going all the way to the Final Four, you guys being picked fourth in your league. And we're going to see, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we also play South Carolina here at home December 8th. So that's going to be a fun one. Yeah, NC State, oh man, they're what a great team. I mean, our assistant coaches did a great job of picking our schedule, you know, getting a good range of games, challenges, and then also games that are, you know, good for us to just get practice in. And you know, there'll be challenges there every game. You know, we'll never take an opponent for, you know, for granted. But, you know, it's good to have a wide spread of different games and stuff. And so we're excited. NC State's a great team. And you know, we'll see where we're at. We'll try our best. We'll give them a good fight. And then we'll go from there, right? Journey of a season doesn't matter where we're at any certain point other than March Madness. So
there you go. Got to keep your focus to get there. Yep. Okay, you said something earlier about being loud in the game. I don't know if anybody's been louder in the game than you. Your footprints and handprints are all over a lot of the transformational things that are happening in the college game. The House versus the NCAA and some of the other, I know you're probably not allowed to speak specifically about, and I'm not asking you the detail about anything except for just when you reflect back and history writes its story, you're going to be a part of it. You're going to be a part of helping change the lives of so many people. When you think about that, Sedona, from your seat, it might be hard to grasp it, but there's got to be some feelings there. What are they?
Oh, yeah. Just immense gratitude, Debbie. Seriously, I think it's, I mean, I've been, you know, put in this position to, by God, I do believe that, you know, God has put me throughout my path to make a difference, right? I would not be a part of that lawsuit if I did not have my broken leg injury and go through a massive injustice at my first university. I couldn't pay my medical bills. I was going in extreme debt. I couldn't start a GoFundMe. I had a few followers. I had like 17,000 followers on TikTok at the time. And so, you know, knew about NIL, wanted NIL to be a thing. But I was so infuriated at the time. And so that is what prompted me to start to join the lawsuit, right? And so, you know, now I've grown. Then a year later, right, the NCAA March Madness weight room inequities came up. And that showed me another version of my voice and how I can be a leader in sport. And so throughout my journey, right, it's these adversities that have been put into my life that have shown me, you know, what kind of advocacy I love to do and what my purpose is here in college sports. And so it's amazing. I'm so grateful, right? It's such a blessing to be able to speak for other student athletes, to represent other student athletes, especially in things like, you know, money, right? Setting up students for the rest of their lives, getting them better healthcare, better benefits, better advocacy, you know, better representation. That's what I love to do. And to help others is why I'm here. And so it's a blessing. I'm so grateful. I do not take it for granted whatsoever. And I just hope that, you know, it's a fight that's going to continue needing to be fought. And so I just hope that at the end of the day, you know, it's fought and won one day and that I get to help do that.
Oh, you've definitely helped do that. There's no question about it. And on a personal note, not many student athletes would consider giving to another nonprofit charity like you did for 24 Hours Nothing But Net. I think all of our listeners should know that you donated $1,000 to Special Olympics in my fundraiser for Special Olympics 24 Hours Nothing But Net. I've not had any other student athletes do that, Sedona. So you're not just giving lip service to how you feel or what you're saying. I didn't ask you. You did it out of the goodness of your heart just because we happen to be at the same place. We had a little free throw shooting contest at AU, and it just worked out where you actually committed that you were going to make a donation and then you doubled it. So you ended up giving me $1,000. I don't know how I can say thank you to that, but except for to share the story at a very high level about what you've been able to do to help somebody else, because you have helped Special Olympic athletes organize, train, compete, socialize, all of that. And I know you have a very philanthropic heart. You have a lot of option to do things with your money. I think giving is a skill. You certainly have learned that. Where did you learn that?
Oh man, my mom. I give praise to my mom through all of the good things in me comes from my mom. She's such a just a warm, loving person. She also taught me how to use my voice, how to speak up for things, injustices. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I saw what you were doing and I was so inspired and just, you know, so honored that I was sharing the same space as you and all these WNBA stars. And I was like, you know what, this is so amazing. And it's just something that's not even a thought. It's just this is in front of me. I care about this. I believe in this. I see it. I think that God is working through you and everything you do. And so I wanted to be a part of it and wanted to help in any way I can. And that's just something that I think that, yeah, I hope that more student athletes, I hope that more people in general, you know, donate to this, to your amazing cause and what you're doing and see what you're doing. I think it's amazing. So thank you.
No, you've helped us. Thank you. We did cross $1 million this year. So we're over the $1 million mark, which is just amazing.
That is amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just so cool. I want to ask you about Mark and about Ashley and the Campbells and, you know, their influence on you. Mm-hmm. Ashley was a great player at Vanderbilt. Mark has been an excellent coach. You had a relationship with him when you were at Oregon. And how you ended up at TCU and why it's been so successful for you.
Oh yeah. I mean, Mark Campbell is the reason for that. And that family, oh man. Yeah. I mean, I came into TCU and I can't wait to like share my full story one day. I think it's crazy. A lot of people don't understand that I was literally out of college sports, had no idea what I was wanting to do, was in the draft, but also, you know, I was coming off of an elbow reconstruction. So I was very, very just torn up, out of shape. And 2 weeks before the draft, he had gotten the TCU job. And he and I were super close at Oregon. He was amazing, just helped me through all the rough times throughout the season, throughout two seasons. And so when he got the job, I wondered, right? I had that question in my mind, be like, is there a chance I could play for TCU? Like, what are the odds? You know, I've been out of college for 8 months. I really doubt it. I doubt there's even a chance, but what if? And so called him and all of a sudden he was like, you know what, let's figure it out. Let's hop on it. And within 2 weeks I was in the NCAA portal and heading out to, you know, to the campus here at TCU. And then, yeah, it's amazing. And so many loopholes we had to jump through, like the whole story is crazy how I even got here. I you know, it's definitely God giving me a second chance at college basketball. But yeah, I got here last year, what I thought was my last year of college. And within those first 6 months, I mean, he just put me on the right track. He instilled discipline into me, the love for basketball, right? Got me back in this path of, you know, what I was meant to do, my purpose was, what I have always wanted to do, which be a college basketball star, and how to do it, right? How to work, how to stay disciplined, you know, be a good student, be a good, you know, everything off the court, in the classroom. And so he's been amazing, such a blessing in my life. I'm so grateful for him. He's such a great leader, such a great inspirer. And yeah, I mean, I'll forever be grateful for just him being in my life and being a mentor to me. And I'm so glad that also, you know, I have a second season with him. I only thought that last year was my only 1 year I'd ever have with him. That's but great. At the end of last year, yep, I got my second year, my seventh year back. And so it was not even a question if I was coming back or not. It was if I have another chance with Mark Campbell as my head coach, I'm taking it.
It's the oldest team. Are you the oldest player?
I am. Yep. I am. We do have a sixth year. But we also, I mean, Haley Van Lith is 23. Maddie Shear, I think, is 22, about to be 23. Deasia Merrill is 24. So we have a lot of older players. We have no freshmen. We only have one walk-on sophomore and then one transfer sophomore. And that's about it.
In the old days, it's like you're barnstorming the country with the age of your team. You know, it used to be that you just play the schedule. Barnstorming was this thing that when players graduated, they would come together and then just play games around the country. Just a term that was used. I'm going to start calling you guys the Barnstormers because that's you're essentially the oldest team. I think that's a good nickname for you.
Yeah, I love that.
People that are my age will know the reference. I'll have to make sure I clarify it, but I think it's a pretty cool spin on being the oldest team.
Yeah, I love that.
Being the oldest team, what are the benefits of that when it comes to practice and rehab and all the things from a recovery standpoint? You guys practice less, you practice shorter, you practice more explosively. How does it go?
Yeah, we're very smart. We're very, very mindful of how we take care of our bodies. Before practice, I mean, if you just look at a day in our team's life, walk into practice at about 7:30. We have practice at 8:30. At 7:30, you will see almost the entire team in the training room, getting ready with heat packs, getting lasered, getting taped, getting, you know, stretching, doing rehab, PT, whatever it is. That's a daily routine of our team just because we are older, but also I think it's just this like level of maturity we have as a team mm-hmm. to know all the aspects that go into being a good team and staying healthy, that's necessary. Right. And so that, I mean, practice for us is so high energy. We've all played for many different programs where energy is required. And so mm-hmm. when we come here, energy is expected. And so it's, you know, but it's just like this overwhelming feeling of just excitement, and energy and like just love to be there just because it's such like a fun, loving, free program to be a part of. And also everyone loves each other so deeply, like genuinely loves each other. And so it's fun. We get to just enjoy basketball, you know, for the first time for a lot of people, like for instance, me, it was my first time really truly enjoying the love and game of basketball being here. And so, yeah, it's special. I mean, it's a very, very unique team and program I've ever been a part of. And then after practice, right, we're all back in the training room. So I think it's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, we take care of our bodies because we know we have to, and we're just more mature.
Well, I'm so excited about watching your journey personally and your team. I look forward to seeing you as the season goes on. We're so grateful for your time, for your energy, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in and around the game, Sedona. Sedona Prince from TCU, thank you so much for being with us on Nothing But Net.
Thank you, Debbie.